Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Dr. Sarah Let's Talk About It Blog Talk Radio Show. And I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Brodsky. Okay, well, wow. How is everyone doing today? I'm so grateful that you're joining us. And tonight, we have another amazing show for you with another relevant, hot topic to discuss. One so relevant that there is a month dedicated to it. And it just so happens that this is the month, and it just so happens that this month is dedicated to suicide prevention. Thus, our topic for tonight. So how does it get any better than that? Like, wow, what an intense topic for sure. So again, this show is going to come at you with some very different points of view. Very different points of view on suicide and suicide prevention. The awareness that looking at suicide and suicide prevention in this case, all different angles of points of view to be cleared and addressed in a way that allows for greater possibilities to be available in an oftentimes limited, very limited space where people tend to have no choice. How aware are you of that? Yeah, I wonder, what else is possible now? So my returning guest and I will be looking at the more traditional approach to clearing, and a non-traditional approach to clearing on this heavy energy that often shows up around suicide and suicide prevention for people who are experiencing suicidal thoughts and ideation, as well as family members and friends. We are going to look at all angles of how this impacts you and others and even the world. So we will be shedding some light on suicide and looking at it from a conscious awareness and other possibilities. So what I'm going to do first of all is share with you actually a post that I had on Facebook, on my Dr. Sarah Facebook page a year ago on the actual suicide prevention day, which there is one dedicated to it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you the picture quote that I included as well as what I wrote, because I sense it's very relevant to what we're going to be talking to you about tonight and really clear a space so that we can enter it with more ease. So the question I posted last year was, what would it take to no longer feed suicide by wronging ourselves for the difference that we be? Yeah, that was the question. And I went on to share the following. Today, September 10th, 2018, is World Suicide Prevention Day, a day where we unite and join together to increase suicide awareness, as well as to encourage people to seek help if suicidal ideation is present. And what if prevention is also about living? What if it's about encouraging and empowering each other to live life fully, to honor each other's points of view in a non-judgmental way, to see the truth clearly and not buy the lies as true, to generate and create a space of ease and calm where light choices and possibilities are available and heavy thoughts, feelings, and emotions are cleared as they arise, to no longer separate ourselves from ourselves, and in order to choose to live our lives according to what's light for each one of us, to step up and step in to being our true selves by honoring the similarities and differences we each be, to choose to live every day consciously, and to be the invitation for others to do the same? What would that be like? What would it take? And I signed it Dr. Sarah. And I went on to say, if you or someone you know is struggling with the severe depression, suicidal ideation, and or is actively suicidal, please seek help. And always remember, never stop, never give up, and never quit. You are not alone. So I proceeded to share in the suicide support links, I concluded to share on the post, suicide support links and resources, which I will also be including here on this Blog Talk Radio show page, just in case something, you have a resource there that you can access if you know someone that's actively in a heavy space of suicide. So now everything that brought up, let's do a clearing on it now. So let's take a deep breath in and release all of the heavy on the exhale. Or if you know pod and pock, use pod and pock. Wow. Thank you. Now I have a few more questions for you tonight, specifically for the show. And so here they are. We can start with these before I bring on the live guest. So the questions: how do you perceive suicide and suicide prevention? What does that look like to you? What different point of view are you willing to open yourself up to when it comes to this? Do you share in the point of view that suicide is a problem that needs preventing? Have you been wronged, or have you wronged yourself for having suicidal thoughts? Have you been taught that you are helpless to it and you cannot control it? So everything that this brings up, let's take a deep breath in and let's clear it now. And let's release all of the heavy on the exhale, or pod and pock. Wow. Thank you for that. So let's go ahead now and aim to explore further with my live return guest. How does it get any better? I wonder. So now, without further ado, I would like to formally introduce to you my return guest, Liz Tupling. So Liz is a private practice integrative psychotherapist and conscious living facilitator with an office in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. In her work, she is dedicated to guiding individuals, families, and organizations towards more fulfilling relationships and life experiences. Working with a broad range of clients, Liz uses an integrative treatment style to assist people in moving toward emotional wholeness and connectedness, while helping people better understand the role of their individual histories, contributions, and choices. She offers a therapeutic approach that encompasses the mind, body, spirit in totality. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Liz back onto the show. Hi, Liz.
Hello. Hello, Dr. Sarah. Thank you so much for having me back on the show to discuss a huge and important topic.
Oh, I'm so grateful to have you on. And yes, this topic, wow, there's an energy to it that's just like vibrating beyond. So I'm so grateful you're on, and I'm so grateful that we can explore it further from, you know, that very interesting point of view that I've mentioned already that we're bound to explore. So is there anything that you would like to start with in terms of that discussion, Liz?
Absolutely. I really love the question that you posed, Dr. Sarah. It opens us up to so many different considerations as they relate to the topic of suicide. And that is, you know, right at the heart of the option to take one's life is the idea of choice. And I love the way you framed the discussion and the questions, you know, and like I said, central to the idea of taking one's life, you know, is there a choice? Is there a feeling at the time as if the person is potentially living in that no choice universe? And so where, you know, there's different places that we could go with that topic, but I kind of wanted to just throw that out there because I do feel like in the moment it's so difficult for people to differentiate what's going on internally, and there's just this swirling of ideas. and really most of those ideas relating to the, you know, the thought that there's no way out other than that option.
Mm. Yes. That the limitation of those thoughts, feelings, and emotions keep them stuck in that space of not even being able to see clearly another possibility. And so I love that you're mentioning that we're welcoming in a different point of view to acknowledge both sides so that someone can have a choice to choose. By having choice, it allows them actually to choose not to commit suicide, but it also opens it up and kind of diffuses it as a limitation that you're not supposed to. So, and I know in our profession, Liz, that there's probably one of the biggest fears as clinicians is this idea of someone being suicidal and being in a space where that comes in a heavy way. But I'm also aware that when we can be with a person and acknowledge, like, wow, this is so heavy, and what would it be like to choose what's lightest for you and be able to see clearly what's theirs and what's not. So that really opens up another area here of discussion.
It sure does. And I think that one of the, and I'm sure you've witnessed this as well, but one of the most beautiful gifts that you can give a client who has had suicidal thoughts and ideation in the past is that you know, that conversation without judgment, without shame, and just honoring where they're at that moment in time, and be able to kind of just empathize from the space of, you know, I imagine that in that place and time, you absolutely didn't see, or you're not envisioning that there are choices in this, but, you know, let's look at what's available to you. And I think, you know, when people can, who have experienced suicidal thoughts and you know, their minds have gone in that direction, and you know, I think to be able to just sit with someone who can empathize in that way is such a huge gift, and it frees a person up. It gets them out of that limitation and that space of judgment that sometimes they're, as you pointed out, they're stuck in. And so the likelihood that they could down the road actually follow through successfully on a suicide heightens with the more judgment and shame they're walking around with.
Mm. Yes, and the limitation. So by us not being in the limitation with them and offer other possibilities, it allows them to be able to choose for themselves. And it really brings up a great point too. Like there's, and maybe we're meant to distinguish this, is that it's different when someone's actively suicidal, let's say even in our sessions, where for me, I know I would show up to them and be like, okay, let's put a plan of action here. Let's get you to a safe place. Let's get you to the hospital.
Yes.
You know, we have this kind of responsibility as clinicians to duty to protect and warn if necessary of harm to self. So if someone's actively suicidal, I'll do whatever it takes to get them in a space, and you probably can relate, to the hospital or such. However, a lot of times, people are just experiencing more of the ideation, which are the thoughts and the feelings and emotions around it, without actively having a plan to do it. So when they're in that space, that's what I sense you're referring to. They really require a safe haven, a place to be where we can just acknowledge, like, wow, this is really intense, and really go into clearings or other ways that they can release whatever is theirs or not even theirs. A lot of times they're picking up on energies that may not even belong to them, which is, you know, certainly probably a topic for another show, but it really, when you get right down to it, when you're being with that person and being in a space of invitation for something greater, it's a game changer.
It is, and I'm so glad that you pointed out that very important distinction between an individual who is actively suicidal, and who's expressed, you know, more than ideation, a concrete plan, and et cetera, et cetera. So that's a great distinction versus, like you just pointed out, someone who's thought about it, you know, tossed around the idea and holds on to the shame, beats themselves up, you know, I'm a quitter, I'm letting everybody down, and just even thinking these things. And, you know, so you're right, showing up with as that invitation to choose something greater is such a gift. And it does open them up to so many different possibilities, just to even feel heard and seen.
Yes. And this idea of, like, even I know, based on what you and I have talked about, we both show up to not only our clients, I would say, in our practice, but even into the world of like living life fully, like encouraging people to do that. And that's kind of the premise and the basis of everything I'm doing and being, and I sense you're being as well, is that it's about living, not dying. So when we can get the limitation of the thought, feelings, and emotions cleared, then these individuals and people in general are, it really opens them up to, instead of going into problems, it does go into possibilities from which different things can be chosen, and being in the question of that.
Which is so much lighter, right? You know,
oh,
like
you're
in the space of the present moment, not looking forward into that conclusionary reality of it's all over. You know, like it's an encouragement, like you said, an invitation to live right now. And I was just, I met with a client today who is really navigating his own cancer extremely well. But it's so interesting how the medical community kind of comes at him with all of the different data and the interpretation of the data. And, you know, he had said at many points in time, if I had listened to the physicians that I was working, my oncology team that I'm working with, I probably would have planned my own funeral. And I really would have gotten myself down to the point where, you know, I would think, wow, I really just maybe should take control of this and navigate my own exit. But he said, so what I did is I decided to flip it and engage my body on a completely different level and ask my body to be in the choice of what it wants to do next to heal and to navigate and to clear everything that has come to the surface via cancer. And so I thought, wow, isn't that such an empowering way to look at life? And to just be in the choice of life when you're faced with a community of people who are telling you that, you know, of a 2,000 person clinical sample, most people that have what you have already died. You know, so
wow.
So it's so interesting in terms of how we can interpret information and be in the choice of like, no, this is really, I want to navigate this in an empowered way and see what's possible for me, as opposed to charting and scripting my own death, which, you know, I'm sure had definitely crossed his mind.
Well, yeah, and then it goes to the medical community and even our area and line of work of psychology, where a lot of times clinicians and physicians have to put all these disclaimers out instead of being like, okay, we're acknowledging what the statistics are and, okay, what is it going to take for you to be able to heal with ease? Or what? And I love that your client went into the question with his body and asked his body, because the truth is our bodies know. And if we can follow the energy and be in that space of awareness and allowance and choice and possibilities with our body, it's a game changer. And it also goes to how what we're taught in this reality to agree and align with the negativity or the heaviness of something. And this goes to people probably that have other, let's say, friends or family members that are dealing with depression and suicide ideation, is that instead of joining them and empathizing and sympathizing in the story of it, what would it be like to be the invitation for something greater and be in a space of allowance, and more of like, I have your back on this, whatever, I'm here, and whatever's showing up for you, I am acknowledging and will contribute in any way possible. That space is so different than what we're traditionally up against and or in this reality. So I love, that's a perfect example with your client, and even dis-ease as well as anything that's really about dying off rather than choosing to live.
Yes. Yes.
And he was willing to choose to live.
Oh, 100%. And as he said to me today, if I had literally taken the statistics that the doctors had given me a month ago, I may have decided to take matters into my own hands and, you know, and take care of this myself. But I really wanted to be in the space of empowerment and look at what was possible and not look at the death sentence that cancer can be. Look at it as the invitation to live. the flip side of this, Dr. Sarah, that comes to mind is a country like you and I spoke of the other day, a country like Canada, who has legalized suicide or euthanasia for people who meet a particular criterion in which they can schedule their own, you know, people who are chronically ill, who are in a lot of pain, who are essentially, you know, there is a prolonged painful death, you know, in their future. And to have that option, what's really interesting is that unscheduled suicide rates have, and I say that, I use those words very carefully, but have actually dropped in Canada because the option for people who are terminally ill to end their own lives very consciously is there. So suicide as a whole and those rates have dropped. And it's so fascinating to see that. Yes, because there is an endorsement of the idea that you can choose as a terminally ill person after careful consideration and meeting the federal guidelines and the provincial guidelines, you can consciously choose what's light and right for you. So there's that side of this as well.
That's amazing. And it really distills the intensity. And when it is a choice, a person can really, in this case, when it's a terminal illness, and really tune in and see what is in the lightest choice. And it could actually read light for someone to transition when they're in so much suffering that it's just a limitation to stay here just because, rather than creating even more ease, whatever that is. So that's amazing. And kind of putting in those terms, it makes sense. But to this reality, it would almost be more probably resistance. But the truth is it creates greater, so much greater.
Yes, there's a sense of liberation that as a terminally ill person, I mean, so that's that particular portion of the population that's up against that issue. But, as someone who's terminally ill, that option is available to you without judgment, without shame.
Wow.
And that there is a medical community that will support and endorse that option for you if you so desire to go that route. And that's something I think is freeing and liberating for someone, like you said, who's considering that transition with humanity, with compassion and humanity and dignity.
Well, you know what else it allows for, Liz? It's the space of tuning in and actually just being in the space of a question and awareness. It really is a conscious space. Whereas when someone is in the limitation of their suffering, no matter where it's at, a lot of times they're in like this almost a trap, or they're in their head and then their mind where they're suffering so much. And so they're just looking to get out. And a lot of times that doesn't allow the person to check in with themselves, to be present and really ask the question and tune into their own energy. And a lot of times, even like with suicide, like suicide ideation is where an individual may be picking up on energies that don't even belong to them. I know I have clients that will talk at times about, the ideation as, I just don't feel like myself, or I have these thoughts, it just doesn't seem like me. So when we can actually get clear on like, wow, does it belong to you? And if we can clear it, I've literally seen in sessions where this energy shifts and the person goes from actively having suicidal thoughts to nothing. Because when we actually get clear on what the limitation is, those energies can leave, and or the person can return to their own space and be present in the way they weren't before. And that's the beauty of some of these clearing techniques. But a lot of times when people are in this ideation, it's not even theirs to begin with. They could be picking up off of someone else, something else, and I don't know, what's your awareness on that?
Oh, absolutely. Wholeheartedly agree and concur and have seen it and witnessed it as well, in terms of just that when the light bulb goes off, that the depth of hopelessness and helplessness may not even be theirs. it may be, you know, as you pointed out, Dr. Sarah, you know, something, an energy that they have absorbed, that, or they are around and spend a great deal of time with people who are suffering and depressed or anxious, or, and it's just, it's that osmosis in that they're walking around, carrying around a lot of thoughts that didn't even, and feelings that didn't even originate with them. When that light bulb goes off, it is freeing, it's game changing, it's transformative, you know, and it really sets that person free to choose, you know, to choose a life and to live.
Yes. Wow. I so appreciate how you describe that. And yeah, it's amazing when we get to that point too. And sometimes just showing up, and for all the listeners out there, just showing up and being able to acknowledge what is showing up and aiming to clear it with some of the tools I've shared on the show, like either the return to center with consciousness or the deep breath in and release all the heavy on the exhale or the pot and pock. Those are ways to clear out energy that no longer have to feed, again, kind of going back to the original question, feed the wrongness of yourself and allows those energies to clear with more ease. And this idea of never give in, never stop, never quit is so important. And maybe that's one way we can kind of transition out of the show, Liz. Is there any awareness you have on that? And then I'll move on to the question of the week real quick with the listeners.
No, I just am so grateful that you shared the never give up, never give in, and move forward with lightness and really mm-hmm. move forward knowing that there's always choice and possibility in this universe, and it's abundant with choice and possibility. So thank you so much, Dr. Sarah, for pointing out that there are options for people.
Yes, absolutely, Liz. And thank you so much for being on the show. I look forward to having you on next month with another relevant topic that we'll come to the listeners with. So thank you so much for being part of the show. I'm so grateful.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay. So, everyone, real quick. Wow. So, the question of the week. What if living your life fully by choice is the way to prevent suicide? Again, what if living your life fully by choice is the way to prevent suicide? So be with that question this week. Any awarenesses you have on it, you can clear all the heaviness around it. And again, like what Liz and I were saying, I can't repeat this enough. If you are actively suicidal and you need support, there is a number here, the National Suicide Prevention Line, which is 1-800-273-8255. And there's also a website along on this page to look at if you require, and I'm so grateful for this discussion. So now next week's episode, I'm going to have a very new guest on the show, and her name is Dr. Adriana Popescu. And Dr. Adriana and I will talk to you about living consciously and share with you some pragmatic tools and really clearing out any negative cognitive thoughts, feelings, emotions that you may have. We'll use kind of what we talked about tonight and go into it further regarding limiting, if I can get the words out, thought, feelings, and emotions. So I look forward to having her on the show next time, and I look forward to you joining us then. It's going to be September 30th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, now, I would like to close the show by thanking my guest again, Liz Tupling, for joining us. And I would like to thank you, the listeners, for your amazing energy and contribution. I really couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much for being part of this process. I would also like to acknowledge how grateful I am to be your host, and so look forward to continuing to be part of this journey with you. Wow. So now go forth this week knowing I have your back, knowing that you being you and the difference that you be is the difference this world requires and desires. So again, go forth and be, perceive, know, and receive it, all my conscious friends. And I will look forward to talking to you again next time. Okay, bye for now.